888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Speaking of slamming Donald Trump has tweeted that a reason for these California fires, the reason for the severity and frequency of them is because of bad forest management policies and environmental regulations. And he's been hammered by local firefighters who accuse him of speaking with ignorance. But Maxine Waters also made the same comment. We're going to talk about that later on in the program. I put up a couple of articles, one by my guest earlier, Chuck DeVore, called California's Devastating Fires Are Man-Caused, But Not in the Way They Tell Us. Another one about a bipartisan wildfire management bill that was passed unanimously by the lower chamber in California, unanimously by the upper chamber in California, but then vetoed by the governor, Governor Jerry Brown. All of that and more, but those articles are up on LarryElder.com. The seat in Arizona, the one that was held by Jeff Flake, has now been officially flipped to a Democrat. More on that later on. 888-971-SAGE is our number. There's an article in USA Today called Thousand Oaks Makes 307 Mass Shootings in 311 Days. That number is jaw-dropping, and I thought we'd contact John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, for a reaction. John, thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Great to talk to you again, Larry.
So, John, 307 mass shootings in 311 days in America?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, it depends on how you define these things. It's not the definition that the FBI would use for something like mass public shootings. In order to get such a high number, what they're primarily including are things like gang fights. That's going to be the vast majority of that type of number. There's also going to be other shootings that result from a crime, like a robbery. And, you're going to also have something where you'll say you're just going to be counting cases where maybe people have been wounded, including the attacker, and nobody killed. So, when people talk about mass public shootings, the traditional FBI definition of mass public shootings for 30 years was four more people killed in a public place, not involving some type of gang fight over drug turf or shootings that resulted from another crime like a robbery, to try to get at those cases where the point of the attack was to kill people, the type of thing that we think about when we think about a school shooting or the shooting last week at the bar in Ventura County. Those are the types of cases. Now, I'm not saying that gang fights aren't important, gang fights over drug turf. It's just that the causes and solutions for ending gang fights over drug turf are dramatically different than the types of mass public shootings that galvanize people's attention, news interests. I mean, let's put it this way. Even the news media recognizes the two types of cases are dramatically different, because if you have two gangs fighting against each other over drug turf, you're not going to get the same type of news coverage as you're going to get, even if the same number of people die, as you were going to get in something like a shooting at a school.
So, John Lott, use the FBI's definition of a mass shooting. Have mass shootings gone up in this country over the last several years?
Well, they've been fairly flat over the last couple of decades. If you look since 1998, so the last two decades, in 1999 there were five mass public shootings that year. We had a high of 12. In 2012, high of seven, and then most years, it's been about four. This year, there's been six so far. Mm-hmm. So, these things tend to go up and down a little bit, but there's been a slight upward trend, but nowhere near the type of increase we've been seeing across the world. Across the world, there's been a dramatic increase in mass public shootings. I mean, they're much higher rate per capita than the rest of the world. The U.S. is relatively safe, but that gap has been increasing. Over the last 20 years, the rate of mass public shootings outside the United States has increased almost 300% faster than the increase that you've seen in the United States.
But John Lott, Representative Carolyn Mahoney recently said that we lead the world in mass shootings.
I mean, that's not serious comment. Look, I know if you just listen to the media, you get the impression that they're not occurring much outside the United States, but that's just because the media cares a lot more about covering attacks that occur in the United States than they care about covering attacks that occur in other countries. I mean, I don't know, you know, school shootings, other types of shootings. Just a couple weeks ago, you had a big school shooting in Crimea in Russia, where 20 people were killed at a college, a technical college. A student went in there, killed 20 people, and he wounded 65 others. I mean, that'd be one of the worst college shootings in history in the United States. I mean, there's like only one that's worse than that in the United States. And of course, there have been other bad school shootings in Russia too. I mean, I'm even abstracting away from things like the 385 students and teachers who were killed in 2004 in Bezdan, Russia, because that was kind of part of the Chechen-Russian conflict. So I'm excluding things like guerrilla fights and insurgency type fights, just terrorism and the types of attacks that we see regularly in the United States.
My guest is John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. When we come back, John, I want to ask you, what do we do about these mass shootings? How can we minimize them? And I want to ask you, how many times do Americans use firearms to defend themselves? How many defensive uses of guns are there? And do you believe that the media are complicit in this ignorance of how infrequent mass shootings are in this country compared to many other places, and how ignorant people are about how often Americans use guns for defensive purposes? All of those questions with John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Don't leave town.
Larry will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the pain-free ReliefFactor.com studios. It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Hi, Larry. I got a question for you. Do you think that the Rust Belt voted Democrat this time because they are just sick of the weakness of the Republican Party? I know we got some big things passed, like the taxes and the judges, but unable to even think about building the wall over the border. You have constant cowardly weaklings like Paul Ryan and Jeff Flake siding with the Democrats all the time. Maybe they were just sick of the spinelessness of the Republican Party in Congress. Thank you, Larry. Have a good day, buddy.
Well, neither Ryan nor Flake are long for Congress. Ryan chose not to run again, and Flake chose not to run again. And I believe the reason is Trump. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, a very special deal for elder listeners. 50% off the 4-pack, which includes 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. So if you're looking for an amazing night's sleep, make your move. 800-890-1843. Be sure and use promo code Larry. Or do it online, MyPillow.com. And again, be sure and use promo code Larry. My guest is John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. By the way, he has a Ph.D. in economics from UCLA, and he has taught or researched at University of Chicago, Yale, the Wharton School, Stanford, and Rice. His book, More Guns, Less Crime, I got to tell you, I've said this many times, John, when you weren't here on the air, that your book has withstood the attack from a lot of people who did not like the results. And there was another famous study on the minimum wage called the Card-Kruger study that purported to show, surprisingly, contrary to all the studies before, increasing the minimum wage actually benefits the economy. It sparks economic activity, yada blah, et cetera. And when researchers, John, try to replicate the findings, they couldn't do it. They asked for payroll records rather than just asking employers, did you hire or did you not hire? And it turned out that the normal theory that when you artificially increase the cost of labor, you you decrease the demand for it holds up. Had your work not held up, John, you would not have been able to leave the house because it was so controversial. More guns, less crime. It's my long way of saying bravo for the work that you've done and continue to do.
Well, thanks. It was very nice of you. I mean, after you work for years on something, you know, you appreciate people being able to use it to save lives.
Now, what do we do about the mass shootings? Apparently between 15 and 18 or so take place every year for the last 30 years, some up and some down, but pretty much that's been the average. Also, Alan Fox of the Northeastern has done a lot of work on this, said the same thing you said, and that is that the numbers of mass shootings have pretty much been about the same for the last 30 years. So what do we do about the ones that we do have here?
Well, I mean, you have different types of shootings, as we were talking about. If you're talking about these mass public shootings where the point is to go and just kill people, not to fight over drug turf or to rob or whatever. You have to look at the fact that virtually all of these, including the one last week, occur in these places where guns are banned. I mean, these killers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. They know that the longer it takes for somebody to arrive on the scene with a gun, the more people that they're going to be able to go and kill. You know, if you have right to carry states in the country, we have 42 of them. In most of those states, you can carry your permanent concealed handgun virtually any place. There may be, you know, 2 or 3% of the areas that you're not allowed to carry. Well, the attacks, if they were random, 97-98% of the time, they'd be in places where you can carry. Instead, the opposite's true. They virtually all occur in that couple percent of the places where you're not allowed to carry. And at some point, you'd think people would realize that these aren't random. But even if they didn't believe that from the statistics, if you just read the statements that these killers make in their diaries or to others before they commit these atrocities, they explain that they try to go to those places where they don't have to worry about somebody stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the media is just horrible in terms of reporting this stuff. Even when I contact news editors, like last week after the attack, you just can't get people to include this information in their news stories. I mean, they'll go and talk about things that they often get wrong initially, things like what type of gun was used or how the person obtained the gun. You know, they like to use terms like assault weapons or they even call them automatic many times when they don't have a clue what type of gun it is because they've never had that type of gun used in these attacks. But, you know, when you go and talk to the editors, they'll say, well, you know, just be political for us to go and mention that there's been another attack in these gun-free zones. And the thing is, I don't see why it's any more or less political. There are good reasons to believe that it matters. And I have to say one thing.
John, we need to take a break first before you do it. John Lotz, my guest, founder and president of Crime Prevention Research Center. When we come back, we're going to also ask you how often people use guns to defend themselves.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show. Call The Larry Elder Show now at 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. Eldorado's Let Larry Know What's On Your Mind.
Larry, they're bringing up about Trump and the campaign finance laws with the hush money. What about all the senators and congressmen that use hush money, taxpayer hush money? They use taxpayer hush money. What about them? Is that not, are they not in trouble for that?
Okay, Larry, here's what's going on. We got the Latinos coming from Mexico, opening up their orphanages and their hospitals, their sick people, and heading north here to get in the United States. Or they want to have the jobs Americans won't do. A lot of Guatemalans are coming up, so they get into Mexico, and the Mexico's offering them jobs, but they're turning them down. I guess they want the freebies up here in the United States, or they're turning down those jobs in Mexico because those are the jobs the Mexicans won't do. What's the story there, Larry? Can you figure it out? Thank you.
Hey, Larry. Eric in San Antonio. Something strange post-election phenomenon I'm seeing here. I'm a professional poop scooper. I drive all the time for the last 12 years. Something I'm noticing is the Beto signs are not coming down. They're staying up all over the damn city. What in the hell?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. We come back, we're going to be talking about the poll question I left you yesterday. Do you believe Democrats are stealing votes to win the Florida Senate and gubernatorial races? I'll give you what percentage of you said yes, and I've got another question for you tonight, which we'll do tomorrow. All that's coming up. John Lott is my guest, founder, president of Crime Prevention Research Center. John, you once told me that the L.A. Times, because you wrote about how often Americans use guns to defend themselves, challenged you and said, take 2 weeks and you come back and you give us examples of when people use guns to defend themselves, because we don't believe it happens as frequently as you think. And you told me that, to their credit, when you came back with a bunch of stories over that period of 2 weeks of citizens using guns to defend themselves, they in fact published your findings.
Yeah, I mean, that was a while ago. I don't think the current op-ed editors at the LA Times would do something like that. But no, that's exactly right. They just didn't even believe that there were news stories on it. And, you know, the media has an impact not only on people like, you know, regular citizens who read it, but even on themselves. If they don't report those types of stories in a paper like the Los Angeles Times, it's not too surprising that people generally have a hard time thinking about the benefits of guns. If they only hear about bad things that happen and not the benefits, you know, people will have views that reflect that. And the media bias has just become unbelievable. I mean, we were just talking before the break about how you keep on having time after time these attacks occurring in these areas where general citizens aren't allowed to have guns. And the attack last Wednesday in California specifically bars concealed carry permit holders from having guns in bars. 39 states allow it. 11 states that have concealed carry permits don't. It's just not that. Because my guess is the whole debate on these things would be dramatically different if even once in a while the media were reported. The new governor-elect in California, Gavin Newsom, held a press conference after the attack last week, and he said he just couldn't believe that people would be pointing to more guns being the solution to this, because this had proven yet again that that wasn't true. Well, it would have been a lot harder for him to go and make that statement if the media had reported that this was, in fact, yet another case where guns had been banned from the place where the attack had occurred.
And, John, I heard that there were 4 or 5 off-duty police officers in that bar at the time this happened.
Right. Well, USA Today reported that there were 6, about 6 off-duty police officers, but apparently none of them were armed, which is unusual for police generally. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is the local police there had a policy that when the police go into bars, they're not allowed to have their guns with them. Look, the rules vary a lot across states with regard to concealed carry permit holders. 39 states allow you to carry into a bar. Some of those say you can carry, but you can't drink. Others essentially treat it as drunk driving. If your blood alcohol gets above 0.08, then it would be a crime. But mm-hmm. The thing is, when you look across all those states, you don't see problems anyplace. That the concealed carry permit holders behave responsibly no matter what the rules are that are there, even more liberal ones. These are individuals that have a lot to lose, and you just don't see people going to bars who have concealed carry permits and committing crimes.
Now, John, you mentioned that the local policy is for officers who go into a bar not to take their firearms. Is that because of the California law? Does the California law have an exception for law enforcement?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
My understanding, it's up to the local police chief.
I see.
To determine what when the people can carry.
Okay. Now, how often do Americans use firearms for self-defense?
Well, the best estimates that we have to use survey data for this, and it's about 2 million times a year. You have some surveys that are lower, about 1.3 million, others are 3.5, and then you have a survey done by the Department of Justice, which claims that it's about 100,000 a year. But there's a big difference in how those surveys are done. The reason why the government survey gets about 100,000 is they have a different, what we call, screening question that you have to answer before they let you have a chance to go and answer other questions. And the screening question there is, have you been a victim of violent crime? So if somebody uses a gun successfully to defend themselves and prevent something bad from happening, it's very likely that they don't go on to the other questions about, you know, what type of crime was it, and how did you respond, because you don't view yourself as having been a victim, so they don't ask you those questions.
Mm-hmm.
The surveys that have questions like, have you been threatened with violence? Those are the ones that have much, much higher rates of defensive gun uses associated with them.
Well, John, thank you very much for coming on. By the way, his recent books are Dumbing Down the Courts, How Politics Keeps the Smartest Judges Off the Bench, and The War on Guns, Bias Against Guns, all of which are up on our website, LarryElder.com. John, as always, thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being there, Larry.
You got it. The president has just...